For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Okay, 1 o'clock now. We're in there. C-Mac coming up next. I don't know if he's in the building, if he's driving here. C-Mac's going to break down the Yankees game, the Mets game. I don't know. I'll be listening to his show till I fall asleep. But let's take these calls. 888-808-1019. Talking about the Yankees, talking about the Mets. Disappointment from yesterday. It is what it is. Get ready for more of it. Get ready for more of it. It's the most wonderful time until it's not. 'Tis the season for disappointment, for collapsing, for failure. Bite your nails. I don't know what else you do with like a nervous tick or nervous having, like, you know. I'm just ready for it, man. It's postseason baseball time. 888-808-1019. Carlos and Secaucus, you're on the Fan.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Still, big fan. Thank you for speaking with me. I just wanted to talk to you. I was at the game tonight. I was excited about getting my tickets like a month ago because I figured this was going to be an important game.
Yeah.
But apparently it was only important for me. It was important for the Yankees. And I
know
that.
It was important for me too. I hadn't been in the stadium for weeks. I had this game circled for a while. I thought we were going to party tonight.
Right. And I know it wasn't important for them because who comes out after Clark Smith? Mesa. Right? When the Yankees have a game on the line, they don't bring out Mesa after Clark Smith. They don't bring out Mesa when we have a closed game.
Well, you know, it's
and then
part
after
of the plan.
Mesa comes out.
Oh, Carlos. He needed to get some work today. It was his day to throw. You got to check the Yes Network bullpen budget and stick to the script. Stick to the plan. We're going to throw Tim Mesa.
They had a game off. They had a game off, right? So they have plenty of relievers available.
But you know what? We got to use these random bums that we pick up. You can't just, you know, get these guys off the scrap heap and not throw them into big games. Like, you know.
But we could have clinched the division today. We could have had a party today.
Whatever. We'll do it tomorrow. Got to throw Tim Mesa. You know, Tim Mesa sucks, but the Yankees picked him up for nothing. So they got to try and, you know, get a return on investment. They didn't invest much into him, but they got to use him.
Fine. I mean,
that's what I'm saying, though, bro.
That,
like,
but yeah,
I think the Talking Yanks guy said that they have a bunch of adopted dogs, stray dogs, homeless dogs in the bullpen every year. Just guys that they like, no one else wanted, and they took in. Here, come on, come this way. We'll take you. We'll fix you up. We'll clean you up. We'll get you right. And then they wonder
then
when that dog poops on the carpet. They wonder why. Well, that dog ain't right. That dog ain't trained right.
Who gonna start after Mesa, right? Later. The game's still closed. You bring out later who's been given runs after runs. Whew. Of course, both of them give up their own. And then
he got that double play ball when he needed it. Actually, tonight, when I saw Mark Leiter Jr. in there, I'm like, come on, bro. He got it done. He walked the first guy, but got the double play ball. I wasn't mad at him.
Every time he comes out, you got to expect he's going to give up
a
run. Sure,
I don't want to see him.
And a closed game. You don't want to bring him in then.
Yeah,
you know?
But they're gonna. We got to queue up the clip. Alex, let me know if you got that Talking Yanks clip. They're gonna. they're gonna use all of these guys. They do not care what you want as a fan. They do not care what you think as a fan. They're smarter than you. They know better than you. And they're not going to just discard guys. They're not going to just throw guys away because they're bums. They think those bums, you know, even those, you know, those guys that, like, Tim Mesa doesn't need to be on this team. Well, we're going to use them. We're going to turn them in because they've done it, right? Tim Hill, reclamation project. Michael Tonkin, reclamation project. Like, they always find these guys that, like, ended up pitching for the Blue Jays, the last place team, the White Sox, a historically bad team, and they're like, oh, well, we can fix them. We can get the most out of them. Look at what Clay Holmes is. Clay Holmes comes over from a last place Padres or a Pirates team, and they turn him into something now, and they're just so stuck on he's high leverage. He's got nasty stuff. He's good. It's going to happen. It's going to work.
It just thinks a little bit, you know, because you go to a game and then, you know, I guess like a month ago, I didn't know this game was going to be like a game where you can clinch the division, you know, but then it comes out it is. So I'm like, I'm excited to go, you know, I'm in there. And then after the game, I'm going to Billy's. I know you know about Billy's, right? And of what are they course. Showing? They're showing the freaking Orioles throwing champagne everywhere, celebrating.
Ugh. I'm glad I had to go to work. I would have been so mad. Yes Network was showing that, or MLB Network? Yes Network had it, or Yes Network probably had it on?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure who was showing it, but it was on the screen at Billy's.
On the big screen at Billy's. Ain't that. Carlos, y'all, appreciate you listening to my show, calling the show. Go back to another game before this homestand ends. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. I would have thrown up in there. You got Jackson Holiday, look like Alvin and the Chipmunks in the face. He's got water. They've got crayons and coloring books and stuff for this kid to celebrate. He's 20 years old. He's not old enough to drink. Yeah, well, for the Yankees, man, Tim Mesa, Mark Leiter Jr., Tim Hill, at least there's not, I don't know. I was actually fine with Michael Tonkin after a little while. But, like, this is what we're rolling into the postseason with. And Clay Holmes is going to be, when you look at this bullpen, Clay Holmes is going to be there. Jake Cousins will come back. But like even the news with Ron Marinaccio, I'm like, man, you guys rather pick up veteran journeyman bums than like develop your own talent. Is Ron Marinaccio, how old is Ron Marinaccio? 23? He's a lost cause? Oh, he's older than I thought. I don't know why. I guess because of his, you know, only being around for the last couple years, I thought he was younger. He's 29. So I stand corrected on that. He's older than I realized. But still, he's a young guy that I felt like, you know, for him to get DFA'd and picked up by the White Sox, it's like, you guys couldn't figure it out with that kid? He had nasty stuff. He just didn't get as long of a leash. Got sent down a bunch of times. I don't know, man. Just brace for impact. Get ready for it. Here's the clip from Talking Yanks. Listen to manager Aaron Boone talked to John Boy and Jake, who, like, not for nothing, John Boy and Jake can't play any baseball. They're not athletes. I won't go into detail on what I know about those guys and what they are. I'm not going to take anything away from, like, what they've built and the brand that they've built. But they're nobody to be questioning Aaron Boone. But they do it every week. Every week they ask questions that we want to hear as fans. So let's hear what they asked Aaron Boone about Clay Holmes, who's no longer your closer, but he will be on the postseason roster. And you talk about clinch season. It'll be clinch season when you got to watch Clay Holmes in October. Go for it.
With Clay, how do you see the next six games going and his role in the postseason? Do you still see him getting the ball in close games?
Yeah, that's my hope. And hopefully he gets into some key spots here this week and we get him going, because if you're going to make a long run the postseason, you kind of need everyone. And again, trying to get him in spots where we think he can be most effective. And I do feel like he's throwing the ball well. Hopefully, you know, we have a good week with him and build some momentum going into the playoffs.
I guess, what do you think is the solution for Clay? Like, I guess, what would you be looking for from Clay throwing the ball?
Yeah, I mean, execution. Every time he gives up a run or whatever, it's a huge thing. But in and around that, there's been a handful of really good ones here, too, lately. Ultimately, on us to get him in spots where he can be most successful.
Yeah, you're looking for execution? I 8 out of 10 times he doesn't execute. He walks guys, or he hangs a pitch that gets rocked. Can't wait. 888-808-1019. So yeah, like they're gonna use him in October in a close game. To hell with my Jabba rules, my Clay rules. I told you guys, it's pray Holmes. Hashtag pray for Clay. That's all we can do. When you see him warming up, when you see him coming in the game, put your hands together, clasp your hands together, bow your head, and say a prayer. Hopefully those prayers get answered. We're going to need it, Because this guy is not like that. He's shaky. They do not care, though, because they think he's got nasty stuff and he's going to get big outs in October. Damn, I wish we still had Michael King, but I had to give him away for one. So 888-808-1019. At least the Mets bullpen locked it down. Outside of Stanek, right? Yeah, Stanek gave up a homer. But other than that, Brazoban, Ottavino, Young, those guys, your, you know, lower leverage guys, your, you know, at least in this series, you didn't have to burn your weapons, your stronger guys out of the bullpen. Those guys got it done. I got football calls. I'm going to transition into the Giants and the Jets getting it done. I mean, we have this Wednesday here that is going to feel like forever. At least we'll have the Yankees, right? All of us can watch the Yankees. Hopefully they don't lose the series to the Baltimore Orioles, and then the Orioles have new life, and they get hot, and they start playing better baseball, rolling into the wild card, and then potentially the DS. But yeah, coming off the Jets winning and the Giants winning, I was talking before about how actually I've changed my opinion a little bit. I think this is more of a get-right game for the Dallas Cowboys than a spot for them to get got. Because it's not a long week. It's the only game on. It's a primetime game. And they're coming to a place where they've had a ton of success. They're coming to a place where they don't lose. They lose now in Jerry World. After having 16 straight wins in AT&T Stadium, they lost their last game last year to the Packers. Embarrassing. They lost to the Saints by a lot. Embarrassing. Then they had a score that looked close against the Ravens, but ultimately they, you know, they came back late and they got their doors blown off and ran all over early. They have more talent. I think that they come here to MetLife and they definitely cover that, which was a 4.5 spread, a 5-point spread. They probably win by a touchdown. Joe's in Manahawkin on the Fan. What's up, Joe?
How are we doing, Keith?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
It's an absolute honor to talk to you, man. I've been listening to you probably for like 3-4 years at this point, ever since I've been driving.
It's crazy. Yeah, and, it's been 3 years. Thank you, man.
Yeah, and I just wanted to talk about Daniel Jones a little bit, Giants.
Let's do it.
And so I'm a Giants fan, kind of, still at this point, but it's just really hard for me to get upbeat and get ready for Sundays when, like, there's no world in this that Daniel Jones is going to bring this team to, like, I think 2022 is a complete fluke. I think everybody knows it. And I just don't understand how we're in year 6 of this guy starting. There was guys on the market that were cheap, like Justin Fields, you could have gotten for like a 4th round pick just to bring in some kind of competition for the guy. I just don't understand how we're rolling into year 6. And his only backup is Drew Lock, who's not even really a threat to take the job at all. If we're being honest.
Yeah, I don't know, kind of similar to Dallas Cowboys, right? You draft a guy, and obviously the Cowboys drafted Dak in the 4th round, not 6th overall. But when you don't pick up his rookie option, and then you force him to go prove it, and then he does, you can't, once he proves it, you got to pay him. You can't say, all right, you proved it, we're going to go elsewhere. The fan base won't accept it. That would be, you know, bad practice.
I remember that offseason really well, Keith. We could have franchise tagged him. We could have... I don't know.
You had to franchise tag Saquon, no?
I wouldn't have done that either. It's a running... I mean, I don't know.
You had to do that for the fans.
Me personally, I hear what you're saying, too. I really do.
What they should have done was pick up Daniel Jones' rookie option, but you had a new GM and a new head coach come in and say, we're not doing that. We don't believe in this guy.
Yep, absolutely.
And they never believed in him. Similar to how Jerry Jones never believed in Dak Prescott. Now he's the highest paid player in the league. Like, you know... At least they structured the Daniel Jones contract where they'll be able to get out of it. But we all know what Daniel Jones is.
Right.
He's not terrible. He's not the worst quarterback in the league. But like you said, you're not inspired by this guy. This guy doesn't make you think that you can win. You don't get up for Sundays knowing Daniel Jones is under center.
And are we sure he's not the worst starting quarterback in the league if we're not counting the rookies?
No. Emmanuel Acho came out with a take where I was trying to get at him on Twitter where he's talking about, this is taking a shot at the integrity of the league, the Giants marching him out there. I'm like, you're bugging out. He's not the worst quarterback in the league. Watson sucks. Trevor Lawrence is trash. Bryce Young, I just thought Bryce Young was in a bad situation. No, they put Bryce Young on the bench. Andy Dalton goes out and balls. Like, who else am I missing? Like, there's been some bad quarterback play.
I would still take the chance on what those guys could be, as opposed to we already know what Daniel Jones is. Even if
yeah, that's what's
young.
Crazy too. It's year six for Daniel Jones, and we're still talking about.
I mean, come
let's
on,
see.
We're still talking about the O line. Like it matters.
The O line is better. This Giants O line is good.
It's better. Andrew Thomas won the matchup versus Myles Garrett. If you ask me,
he did enough. He certainly did enough.
And that's a generational talent at pass rush. I just don't. How many more excuses can we make for the guy? I know there's only one more year left in the deal, but still, it just doesn't feel serious enough. Like, Neighbors is fun to watch, don't get me wrong, but it's not enough. I don't know. That's all I wanted to say, Keith. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Joe. I don't know. I'll say this. The Giants' first two losses of the season look a lot different now. The Vikings are good. Brian Flores is diabolical with that defense. Sam Darnold has found a coach that believes in him, like Justin Jefferson believes in him. Kevin O'Connell has, you know, put him in the driver's seat where, like, Sam Darnold looks great. The Browns, the Commanders, everybody's talking about Jaden Daniels today, yesterday, and the Commanders. Crazy how they go from six field goals to beat the Giants. They start punching it in against the Bengals, and Jaden Daniels has a real coming out party, but I guess the Giants win at home gave them the boost that they really needed. And then the Giants go out there in the first kickoff, put the ball on the carpet, and it seems like here come the Browns. The Browns are going to roll, and the Giants are terrible. And no, they found a way. Malik Nabers looks like one of the best receivers in the league already. Singletary, if he can hold on to the football, stop putting the ball on the carpet, he looks like a guy that can be a serviceable replacement fill-in for Saquon Barkley. Wandale Robinson. And then the defense showed themselves. Well, they had 8 sacks. Brian Burns, strip sack fumble. Good to see you. Dexter Lawrence, do your dance. Like, I think it might be a longer day for Deontay Banks. As I saw Deontay Banks trying to cover Amari Cooper one-on-one. If you remember, Amari Cooper used to be a Dallas Cowboy. Him and CeeDee Lamb worked extensively on his releases off the line and, you know, different things with their route running. Like, CeeDee Lamb has definitely learned some stuff from Amari Cooper. And so him watching Banks try and cover him one-on-one, that slant that they threw to Cooper, ooh, Amari Cooper just stepped on him. Well, that's all he did was, just a step to the left. And for some reason, Banks had his, like, back turned to the inside of the field. Amari Cooper just ran underneath him wide open for a touchdown. But I think CeeDee Lamb, I don't know if they're going to be able to put Banks on CeeDee Lamb all day. I am excited to see how the Cowboys go about matching up Trayvon Diggs with Malik Nabers. I don't think he's going to follow him. But if you were listening to me last night, I was playing, you know, the interview with Malik Nabers where they asked Malik, who do you want to see in the NFL? He said, Trayvon Diggs. They asked him today, and he said, I don't want to talk about it. It's in the past. It's game time now. Not trying to start anything. Trayvon Diggs responded, Giants been getting belt for the last few years now. The Cowboys have won 13 out of the last 14. It hasn't been close. 888-808-1019. So, I mean, I guess since it's Wednesday, and now technically Thursday night football is tomorrow, we can talk Giants and Cowboys. It's a rivalry. I'll be out there. I know I wasn't going to go. I wasn't going to go originally, I told y'all. Because people love the Giants. And people get really butthurt about me being a Dallas Cowboys fan. It's got nothing to do with y'all. Like, I picked this plight. I chose this struggle as a 4 or 5-year-old kid, man. I don't even know if I'm repping them. I don't even know if I'm wearing Dallas gear out there. I might just wear my straight-up NFL shirt. I'm here for the shield. 888-808-1019. Like, as you just heard Joe say he doesn't get up for Sundays, neither do I. Neither do I. I'm betting against the Dallas Cowboys. It's not an emotional edge. It's an obvious bet. You get one team to pick money line, I'm betting the team playing against the Dallas Cowboys because they're frauds. I've been trying to tell y'all that they're frauds since I stepped on this station. Now, was it fun last year to beat the Giants 40-0 and go to that game? Yeah. Follow it up beating the Jets? Yeah, of course. But what's not fun is collapsing in the playoffs every year. And then, like, Jerry Jones goes viral. talking to Jamie Foxx about the size of his players Johnson's. Not Daryl Moose Johnson. He's talking about players' hand measurement, height, weight, and then gives Jamie Foxx the size of this dude's. Like, come on, bro. Jerry Jones believes in Big D. I don't. But I'm also loyal. Like, same way I'm loyal to the Yankees that I picked when I was 4 or 5 years old. You only know what you know. Sunday comes around, you only know what to root for the team that you've rooted for. And one day, Jerry Jones will fade to black. One day, Jerry Jones, time will be up on this planet. I'll still be a fan of how about them Cowboys. But Jerry Jones, this guy is an idiot. Like, the money that he has spent on his players and how he's gone about the offseason, like, there's a reason why you have these personnel problems, why you can't stop the run. There's a reason why you have so much money tied up in a quarterback, which, like, Dak is one of the better quarterbacks in the league. I love last week what Aaron Rodgers did on Pat McAfee coming out to put Dak over, talking about how well he's playing the position, how he's reading defenses, how he's calling out protection, how he's using his cadence to, here we go. People make fun of that, here we go. But that's rhythmic for a reason. You can use that to get guys to jump off sides. You can use that to actually, like, surprise guys. Like, Dak Prescott last week had almost 400 yards. He doesn't get to play defense, though. They signed Eric Kendricks to pair with Mike Zimmer. I don't know. Cowboys aren't good, man. I hope it blows up. Mike McCarthy will be gone. Maybe they'll get Bill Belichick. Who's going to get Bill Belichick first? The Giants or the Cowboys? 888-808-1019. I think the Giants, like, this regime is your regime. It's Joe Shane and it's Brian Daboll. But what's going to change is they're going to be able to draft their own quarterback next year, and then they'll be able to develop them or not. And that extends their time for however many years it takes to do that. With the Dallas Cowboys, I was so mad going into this year. I'm like, I can't rock with them because CD is not in camp. They didn't pay CD, cost themselves money. They didn't pay Dak, cost themselves money. But they did it last minute and got it done. But you have a head coach who's on edge. You have a head coach who's lashing out at the media for asking simple questions about what players said post-game, because he knows he's on the edge of his hot seat. Mike McCarthy spent the night at Jerry Jones' house after taking a year off from coaching. I don't know what these guys did. Maybe they talked about the measurements of players' woo-wahs. And Jerry Jones said, yep, Mike, I like you a lot, Michael. You're the one for me. You're going to coach my Dallas Cowboys. Yo, like, Jerry Jones had the audacity to say he couldn't afford Derrick Henry. What do you mean? We just saw the contracts for Dak and CD. Derrick Henry wanted to be here. You didn't think it was a priority. You're paying $5.3 million to Trey Lance, which makes no sense. You're the only one in the league that would give a fourth round pick to the 49ers for a quarterback that they moved heaven and earth for to get. And then once they realized he was not him, they drafted Brock Purdy with Mr. Irrelevant pick, the last pick in the draft. And they said he can go wherever. We don't care. Anybody want him? Jerry Jones said, I want him. I want him to undermine my quarterback because I don't want to pay Dak Prescott. I want to bring him in here and see if he can compete with Dak Prescott. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? Trey Lance from North Dakota State is going to come in and usurp Dak Prescott? No, dumb. Now you got to pay Dak again. And now you're paying Trey Lance to be inactive, $5.3 million. And that fourth round pick that you traded, you could have got Braylon Allen with that fourth round pick. So, you know, we all have our own problems and issues with our teams. Stay down till you come up. Can't switch up. Like, how corny would that be if I showed up to MetLife Stadium on Thursday wearing Giants gear? You got me, guys. I'm on the radio now. Home of the Giants. I'm joining your side. After I grew up hating the Giants. I grew up hating on the Giants. I grew up in battles with my friends at the bar, at these games. Being called a Cowgirls fan. Getting memes sent to me just checking to see if y'all still them boys. Like, no, stay down till you come up. It is what it is. I didn't know I'd be a radio host. I didn't know I'd be on WFAN. Had no idea when I was watching Odell Beckham make that catch. One day I'd be on the radio. I had no idea. Picked the team when I was 4 or 5 years old, man. They put up 50 on the Bills in the Super Bowl. Everybody wants to roll with the winners. That's why in a few years you're going to see, like, man, why are so many red jerseys? So many Chiefs fans. So many Patrick Mahomes fans. They won Super Bowls. They won back-to-back Super Bowls. These kids in America are Patrick Mahomes and Chiefs fans.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fans.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That I used for my picks last week on the block. This is a beat I rapped over. This is the 4-3-2-1 beat. LL. Method Man. I don't even remember what I said. I gotta write another one. I've been doing that every week now. Every Thursday into Friday, recording a 1-minute rap, picking my picks. They've been wrong. I've been picking favorites, and obviously there's been upsets, but at least what's cool about it is if the picks are wrong, but the rap is right, ding, 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 winner. I'm trying to think, what did I say? I was like, it's already week 3 and I'm back on the block, time to lock in. Last night they had Jet Life rocking. Now that the Jets offense got options, the defense is mobbing like gangrene goblins. You know, found a place to rap. I kicked enough raps on WFAN. And I'm like, ah, this is a sports station. They're not really hitting the same. But then when they asked if I wanted to do picks on 94.7, I'm like, I'm going to do my picks on WFAN, just reading them, talking them. This is a rap station. This is an old school hip hop station. Can I send in some raps? And usually when someone's like, hey, can I rap for you? Hey, can I rap? You're like, probably not. Probably best that you don't do that. Because the majority of people that want to like rap or send you a link to something or let you hear their mixtape, they're trash. But I've been getting some bars off. And I'm competitive against myself. I think I did better week 1, week 2, week 3. Now I got to deliver week 4, but I got to get my picks right. I got to get my flow right. And I got to find the next instrumental. I think I want to use Redman the Goodness on the next one, but it's such a fast beat. I don't know. We'll see. I ain't got the time, man. And I'm running out of time here. 888-808-1019. If you'd like to get any thoughts in on, I don't know, Alex Verdugo, Jason Dominguez, Gleyber Torres, Giancarlo Stanton. They didn't boo Stanton tonight. That's another reason why I'm like, I left him alone, bro. It's almost like we're just like, we're at the point with Stanton where like, we're not even mad at him. Like, even with a golden sombrero night, the Yankees were in that game. The Yankees had their chances. 888-808-1019. And with the Mets, Severino, I mean, this is what it is with Severino. And you can't really be that mad at Severino. It's not like he completely gave up home runs and got rocked or whatever. You know, some singles, doubles, but like the Braves came out ready to go. They know what time it is. They have a winning culture and pedigree down there. And of course, Mother Nature. Mother Nature has been on the Mets side a bit. There's been a ton. I feel like we should do more of a conversation on that. Maybe I'll do that on the next Rico Bronya. How many games have been affected by weather for the Mets this season? They've had rain delays. They've had games turn into doubleheaders. They've had games get moved. That Cardinals game, right? That Cardinals game got rained out and then moved. And I think that impacted that West Coast trip that they took. Yeah, on the next Rico Bronya podcast, I'm gonna compile all the weather affected games for the New York Mets, including Game 2 with Chris Sale on the mound. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Carmen in Linden, New Jersey.
Hi, Keith.
Hey.
Keith, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm good too, Keith. I just want to make a quick point. I know you got people waiting, so let me just say this: I'm a Yankee fan for 68 years. I'm 70. I just turned 75. From the time I was 7, I found Mickey Mantle. He was my idol. When the Mets came in 62 or whatever, I rooted for my Yankees. I never jumped on bandwagons, but I always wanted to see the Mets do well. I was am a Knicks fan. I think I told you that I went to Villanova. Now I love the fact that Villanova's there, but I always wanted to see the Nets play well. The Knicks and Nets can never be in a championship in the NBA. They're in the same division. But I'd love to see the Yankees and the Mets in a World Series again. And I'd love to see, in football, I'd love to see the Jets and the Giants. I'm a Giant fan. I'm not going to knock you. I hate the Cow. I won't call them the Cowgirls.
I hate them, too. I hate them, too. You can't knock me. I hate the Cowboys as much as Giants fans hate the Cowboys.
No, you're a Cowboys fan. No, I know you're joking with me. You were talking about, but I know you're a Cowboys fan. I don't understand why Yankee fans, and this will never change. I don't understand why we can't root for our team, like me with the Yankees, but we can't be. Why we can't root for our New York teams to all do well and to take over all the announcers and the way they always downcast us and the crap that we went through with the Knicks and everything when we were laughed at and everything. I don't understand why we can't embody or embrace our New York teams. That's all I want to say. You know, and that's the way I feel anyway.
Thanks for the call, Carmen. It's too many of us. That's why we have too many teams. We're actually spoiled. We have way too many teams. There's way too much to talk about. Way too many options. And yeah, I like what you said about, like, you know, when I have to hear John Smoltz talk about the Yankees, I cut it off. When I have to hear other broadcasters nationally, like, they do not want the Yankees to win. They do not want to talk about the Yankees in a good light. A lot of them don't even watch the Yankees. They helicopter in. I mean, listen to how they talk about Yankee fans. Oh, Yankee fans are vile. They're disgusting. They boo their own players. They throw stuff on the field. They beat each other up. They're terrible. You don't know. But as far as us banding together to be New York versus everyone, that will really only happen for the New York Knicks. 888-808-1019. And it won't really happen because there are Nets fans. as much as Knicks fans love to say they don't exist, I mean, I made the joke about Barclays Center and people thinking Barclays Center's in Arkansas or something, Nebraska or something. No, it's you can get there from the train pretty easy. The Knicks are the only team in this town that truly unites the city. They lose in the second round and everybody's, yeah, the Knicks are back. Okay. All right. If you say so. If you got it, boss. They're back. Yeah. Back-to-back second round kings. Anyway, I'm not even going to go. I'll save some of that for tomorrow. My boy Alex Day is coming on the show tomorrow. Him and I currently have a clip out there that's doing numbers where every time I open up my Instagram, let me do this real quick before I get back to the phones and continue to talk about the Mets and Yankees. Man, I just knew what I was doing at Fanatics Fest.
Yeah, I saw that too. It was just like, all the comments were like, look what he's wearing.
I'm like, not one person gave me a compliment on like the muscles. Not one person was like, yo, he's kind of jacked. Like, he's looking kind of ripped. Everybody's like, yo, he's wearing Apollo Creed shorts. Is that a Nets jersey? That's a fake jersey. This guy's a clown. Why would he wear a Yankee hat, a Nets jersey, Apollo Creed shorts with Ken Griffey Jr.'s? I'm like, first off, it's Fanatics Fest. They told people to show up there dressed as their favorite player or dressed with their favorite team or teams. That outfit I never wore together. That outfit I'll never wear anywhere else. It was a, like, if you didn't go to Fanatics Fest, you didn't shut up. Like, there's so many people that have helicoptered in to talk about what Fanatics Fest was. You saw videos. If you weren't there, people were wearing ridiculous things. I saw someone that was dressed up as a Bills fan with a table, a Bills Mafia table, and they were themselves thrown through the table. There was a lot of people in there just wearing ridiculous stuff. So my outfit wasn't that ridiculous. But let's see. Let's read a couple compliments. Let's see. Your son is already embarrassed and he can't even read yet. Keith McPherson, wow, what a surprise. Another clown take from the clown WFAN dude. Trying to find it. I've been just deleting them because I'm like, every time I open my app, I can't even post on my story. Oh, this is coming from a Nets fan. What if the Nets won? This guy's a hater. Keith's still mad about the Bridges trade. No, I'm not. But anyway, yeah, I knew what I was doing. Alex will be on tomorrow, and we'll talk about the Yankee game. Alex is a Giants fan, so we'll talk Giants and Cowboys. Alex is a Knicks fan. I'm a Nets fan. And when Alex was walking around with his sign at Fanatics Fest that says, what's your take? He's like, yo, you got a take for the Yankees? I'm like, nah, I give takes about the Yankees all night on the radio. I'm like, you're wearing a Yankee shirt. I don't want to jump on and say a Yankees take. I got on a Nets jersey. And honestly, I saw the fanfare for Brunson. If you guys remember me getting on the radio and saying, okay, I give it up. Like, Judge is the king of New York, but so is Brunson. Like, I wasn't co-signing that in the beginning because I'm like, what has Brunson done? What is, like, Brunson? I'm like, no. Like, once I saw the pandemonium for Jalen Brunson walking through FanFest, the amount of people screaming and running with their phones out and the amount of people that lined up to just meet him, get his autograph, I'm like, there's nobody else that had that. Jeter was in there, didn't have that effect. There's nobody else that has that effect. Maybe if Judge walked through, we'll never know. Judge was in Detroit playing the Tigers. Like, me seeing the fanfare for Brunson with my own eyes, I'm not a fan like that because I'm not a Knicks fan. But me seeing that, I had to give it up for him. And when I did the take with Alex, we'll play it tomorrow. But my take was, you guys have already crowned the Knicks as 2025 champions. You crowned them as 2024 champions in January. My take was, I don't think that Jalen Brunson and this group actually reached the Eastern Conference Finals. Not this year, not next year, the year after. And now that they made the trade for Mikal Bridges with the Nets, I have a rooting interest against. The whole playoff run, I was on every night, like, go New York, go New York, go. Not going against the city. An underdog story. None of these guys were lottery picks. None of these guys did anybody want. These guys weren't even starters. And here you have this Villanova crew banding together as a two seed and trying to make it and yada, yada, yada. That's over, bro. I don't think that they're making the Eastern Conference Finals with this group. I don't know if they stay healthy. I don't know if their coach. When was the last time their coach made a conference final? Who's the center? Who's the five? What team have you seen with a 6'2 star leading scorer win? Like, I don't really want me to start going down this rabbit hole. How does this work out now with Mikal Bridges coming from Brooklyn, where they tried to make him the star? They tried to make him the one, right? Now he's got to fit into this system with Julius Randle coming back. Julius Randle already has an issue because he's looking at the team store and they're selling Mikal Bridges jerseys. Mikal Bridges hasn't played one game for the Knicks. Think about all the games that Julius played. Like, hey, we'll talk about that more tonight. That's going to be a good one. But for now, let's go to the phone. Shane is in Mount Vernon. We'll get back to talking about the New York Yankees.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Yes, so here's the point I wanted to make. My point is on Carlos Rodon and his place in the Yankees postseason rotation. Obviously, Cole's going to be number one. So Rodon is probably going to be number two or number three. But here's the main point I want to make. As you're aware, Rodon at times can get really emotionally rattled. So I think at least for the first time through, you can't do this the whole way because of the way things line up. But for the first time through, I think it's absolutely pivotal you have him pitch on the road away from the Yankee Stadium light. So if he gives up a three-run homer and struggles a little bit, he doesn't get booed by the fan base. What do you think about that idea?
That's smart, but what if we're in Camden Yards?
You think the it's possible that the Baltimore fans would boo. Oh, but then some Yankee fans in Baltimore. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Also, think about when he blew that kiss. Where did he blow that kiss? That was in Anaheim. There were Yankee fans in Anaheim, where traditionally they always show up. They were getting after him there. So I don't think there's any saving this guy. I don't think think about how backwards that is. And I'm not yelling at you, Shane, but how backwards is it that we have a $162 million pitcher that as fans we got to think about shielding him from the fans?
No, I agree with you. However, what I'm saying is, like, in Baltimore, there's going to be, you know, a less Yankee fans than there would be a Yankee Stadium. So, yes, the idea is crazy.
There'll be less, however, hear them. And I've been down there, and I'm thinking about going down there if we actually do end up rocking with them in the DS. Yankee fans will be pulling up and buying those tickets, like. And they'll be loud. If Rodon gives up a homer there, he's going to have to deal with it. This is the thought, Shane. Mm-hmm. Rodon just got his 16th win, career high. Rodon, in his last few outings, has been lights out. The days of him being feeble and weak, they seem to be behind us. Positive thoughts, positive energy. This guy himself said last year, I didn't come here to pitch in April. I came here to pitch in October. He knows that. Let's hope that we get the best out of him. Let's hope.
Yeah.
In his last 12 starts, this guy has won games. He's got a 1.93 ERA. Like, let's hope that we keep getting the good version of Carlos Rodon because of his price tag, his pedigree. He's going to get the ball. He's going to start.
I agree with all of that. The main point I want to make is throwing him out on the road. The Yankees have nothing to lose. There's absolutely nothing to lose to do it.
Whether he pitches at home or on the road, the Yankees are going to throw him out.
No, on the road in the playoffs. Like, if you say, well, using my hypothesis, and it's like it shouldn't be this way, but what do you got to lose setting up the rotation the first time around and throwing him on the road?
The game.
It may end up going that way anyway. There's nothing
you can
to lose.
You can lose the game at home like they lost tonight. You can lose the game on the road tonight. I don't know if it's something that they're looking at. I think he's going to be the game two starter if it's not Luis Hill.
All right. I mean, that's a interesting.
But your thought isn't wrong, right? Because we gotta coddle these players. We gotta treat them with kid gloves. Like maybe it'd be a softer spot for Carlos to pitch on the road because Yankee fans are so harsh.
Yeah, you get my thought process. I'm just trying to maximize the chances of
winning and him not folding. Thanks for the call, Shane. But that's unfortunate that this guy's getting paid $27 million a year, and we got to think about, hey, maybe it's better to pitch him away from the fans. $27 million? Nah, that's what you're here for, bro. Like, you're here to get on that mound in Yankee Stadium and dominate. You're here to get on that mound in October and earn your paycheck. I can't be worried about shielding you from the fans, because like the same fans that boo you are the same fans that are going to be, slow clapping, willing you to throw that strike three and get out of the inning. PC Richardson. Rodney's in Brooklyn, my last call of the night.
What's going on, Keith?
You know, hanging in there.
For sure. I'm thinking about the PC Richards and the whistle right now. That's fun.
Yeah, like the same fans that boo you are the same fans that are going to be up on their feet clapping for you to get that strikeout and go in the dugout, bro. We are rocking with you the same way that we're going to be going against you when you don't get it done.
Exactly. We just want to win another World Series, man. That's all we want, man. Just bring us a ring. Yeah, so I was at the game tonight, you know, it could have gone better. I guess a couple of things. Judge did good. Judge did his thing. The overrun, I feel like the game changed when I'm not even going to say changed, but when Verdugo was at bat. Yeah, so when we had the two walks, right? We got on. I think Rizzo was one of the guys. My guy Rizzo. So I think that they should have stayed patient. I feel like Kramer wasn't really throwing strikes. He wasn't throwing strikes, and I think that they were trying to do like all batters were trying to do too much. I think Verdugo. I think he swung at the first pitch after we got the two guys on with the walks, and then whoever came up after him, I think, did the same thing. And then also, that rundown was bad too. That with Torres, that was bad.
With Verdugo, too much. It was the bottom of the order. Kramer was struggling. His pitch count was getting up. He saw five pitches, but he did what he always does: grounds out, grounds in a double play. And then with Gleyber, Gleyber said he was trying to protect Soto, but I saw it. I have a video of it. Once Rojas gives you the stop sign, it can't be, oh, I'm going to try and go and protect Soto. Oh, I'm going to go back to the base. Oh, now I'm stuck. Like, that's how you kill momentum. Rodney, you the man. Appreciate you, bro. See you at the stadium. Everybody, I'll see you there later on tonight for Derek Jeter final hit bobblehead. Maybe the Yankees with Nasty Nestor on the mound can clinch and have their own AL East celebration in their clubhouse. Maybe the Mets play. I doubt they do. And then I'll be back to host the show as we go into Thursday Night Football. Again, my guy Alex Tate will join us. C-Mac is coming up next. I'm out.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.